Today on Real Radio.
When the parable is delivered, it is a package, it is a delivery system of divine information.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a brand new series on parables. Now, over the next several programs here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack will examine in depth some specific parables we find in Scripture. But before we hear these lessons, we got to first understand what parables are, what their purpose is, and the audience for which they're intended. And so, here it is, the introductory lesson called The Parables, The Technicolor of Truth.
All the parables of the Bible, the majority of them, over 220 of them are in the Old Testament, 30 of them in the New. Parables. God, as you'll hear tonight, instructs us, and listen, and the non-believer, literally, via parables. And we'll hear about that in a moment. How can God do that? Well, you'll see why tonight. We're looking at a message kicking this off tonight regarding the technicolor truth, really, of God's Word. I'm going to ask you to write that down in your note-taking. The technicolor truth. And there's a reason why I've lifted that word up off from things that you guys so often see in movie theaters or things like that, the technicolor production of something. What does that word stand for when we see it? Technicolor, vibrance, brilliance, clarity, almost bigger than life, that word technicolor. And so I've used this word in the title specifically, because God's Word is designed to be so brilliant in your understanding that it unlocks, opens, swings wide the doors of your eyes, of your understanding, and with this goal, that your soul or spirit would be touched by God. And so tonight, follow along with me if you would, Matthew chapter 13. And beginning at verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. That is the Galilee. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. Skip ahead to verse 10. And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak or teach to them in parables?" That is the people, that is the multitude. Verse 11, he answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." The parables of Jesus are but a snapshot of God's prophetic, I say prophetic, because from Genesis to Revelation, God's revelation of truth to the masses, both believer and unbelieving alike, is done in parabolic teaching. Parabolic, parable, para alongside, bolic, to deliver the truth. When Jesus spoke most often to the crowds, that's an amazing thing to think. If Jesus were here right now, speaking physically, he would speak to the crowds in parables. And you're going to know why tonight, by the time we come to the end of this, why he did that. It's amazing. But he would speak in these parabolic, meaning he would cast truth from his mouth right alongside, and I don't want you to ever forget this picture. Imagine a fisherman, it's the exact same picture, casting a lure, a hook, right alongside the fish. That's the goal, to plop it right there, and the fish notices it. Will the fish take it or not is yet to be seen. But the fish sees it. He can't help but see it. And as the fish is looking at it, a decision will be made to take that bait or not. And the fisherman is hoping he takes it. In the same thing, Jesus throws out truth in his earthly ministry, and he does it still by the power of the Holy Spirit today, that truth goes out, lands right alongside someone's head. And they look at it. And then they start thinking about it. And they conclude, I want that. And they'll take it, or they'll just swim away from it. It is absolutely glorious and awesome. It is wonderful and terrible when the Word of God goes out. Did you know that if you are not serious about taking in the Word of God into your life, that going to church or listening to a message could be one of the worst things you ever do? Because you're acquiring knowledge, you are hearing information, you're becoming educated about the things of God, but you're not taking it seriously. And everything that you hear, everything that you take in, your mind is being enlightened. But your heart is shutting off the flow of all of that information, all of that glorious knowledge is being shut off before it gets to your heart. I want you to be thinking about it. That's a very serious thing. The parabolic method of teaching is truly, absolutely awesome, and God is the one who invented it. I want you to keep that in mind. What is a parable? It is a delivery of truth. In the Bible context, which is what we're concerned about tonight, it is the giving of truth in such a way that it is the revelation of divine information. When the parable is delivered, it is a package, it is a delivery system of information. Today, while I was studying, FedEx came to the house and left a package. And I remembered that in my mind. As that guy came up, he delivered the goods and left. And that's exactly what a parable does. It takes the eternal truth of God and brings it in such a way to the eyes, into the ears, into the emotions, hopefully to the heart, to the faith of someone, that it causes that divine truth to be radically illuminated in technicolor clarity. Why did Jesus speak in parables to people? And this is something that is going to really perhaps and could perhaps shake your heart tonight. When Jesus spoke in parables, it's amazing. When he did that, he laid out the truth. Are you guys hearing me? He laid out the truth, and he let the outcome be as that individual deals with it. Jesus never ran up to somebody, grabbed him, and put him in a headlock, and shoved salvation down their throat. Have you noticed that? In fact, when you read the Bible, Jesus often does more things to prevent people from coming into the kingdom. Have you noticed that? Many times he does that. Somebody will say something, like, remember the woman that is listening to Jesus teach? And she goes up and she says, basically she's really asking, I want salvation too. I want to be blessed by you too. And Jesus says, woman, don't you know that the gospel is first to the Jewish people? That the gospel comes to the house of Israel and it's set for them at the table? Now, you can't imagine Jesus saying that in the sense that he's going to exclude her from heaven. But he's very strong about it. Why? There's always a reason why. She says, but Master, so true, you speak right. But even the crumbs that fall from the table of the children, the puppies get to eat. And Jesus said, woman, I have not seen such great faith, no, not in all of Israel. And he blessed her life. A parable, God's truth goes out, the message, the word goes out, and the Lord is expecting you to grab it and do something with it. It is an awesome, wonderful thing. It is true in that it opens and makes clear the gospel to a willing heart, and in the same giving of the word of God, in the same crowd, in the same audience, there'll be someone there who, when they hear the parable, scratch their head, shrug their shoulders, and they say, what is that? I don't understand a word he just said. And there's the condemnation. There is the proof that the person has no desire for God, no heart for God, no intention to do anything with God. And so the parables are an amazing, powerful way of teaching. Real quick, Hosea chapter 12, verse 10 says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions. I have given symbols through the witness of the prophets. That's an Old Testament declaration that God speaks through symbolism, typology, and visions. We have that New Testament counterpart to the Hosea chapter 12 verse. It's Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in the times past, that is by the fathers, to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets, many of them with allegorical type things. Some of them even acted out the word of God, like Isaiah and Ezekiel. But perhaps there's probably no greater book of the Bible that amalgamates these things together. The going forth of the word of God, Jesus perhaps speaking to a disciple, and then that going onward in the revelation of the word to our hearts, then the book of Revelation. Awesome book, direct teaching. Jesus speaks to the churches of Asia, crystal clear. And then he'll turn throughout that book, and the Spirit of God, who authored the book of Revelation, will deliver things that are mystical and mysterious and awesome, speaking what? Through symbols and through types, a parabolic teaching of God's divine, awesome truth. And so, listen to this. One author wrote, many times Jesus said the kingdom of God is like. And whenever you hear that, one ought to sit up and take notice. And then he would tell his listeners a story. And that story would be something so common to them, but the conclusion would unlock a deep truth of God. And that's a great way to define a parable. So in your Bibles, look at John chapter 3. Jesus did it with Nicodemus. And we don't often think of this as a parable, but watch what he does regarding this type of teaching. Again, this is not considered a parable, but watch what Jesus does. John 3, verse 3. You guys know it well. Jesus answered and said to him, that is Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, that is a heavy statement. Look, you know what it means, but Nicodemus is hearing this for the first time. Jesus tells him, unless you're born again, born a second time, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, watch his response. How can a man be born when he's old? We laugh at that, but listen, this is a big deal. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That's impossible. Jesus, verse 5, answered him and said, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, Nicodemus would have said, I know that. I got that. I was born of water. I get that. I came through my mother into this world. Born of water, that's what that reference means. Not baptism. It's born of water. I experienced that. I know that, he's saying. And the Spirit, now this is remarkable. That is capital S, the Holy Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. We all know that, but watch what Jesus says. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What's the conclusion to this amazing teaching? It borders on parable. It is certainly symbolic, but it delivers a profound truth. Jesus is saying you've got to be born. He uses the word born. Nicodemus, how you came into this world, the process you know. The same thing has to happen to be born into the spiritual realm, into heaven. You've got to be born a second time. And he begins to unlock and open up Nicodemus's mind by saying that the wind blows however it blows. Nobody can tell where it's coming from or where it's going. You can see the effect of it. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Listen, for all of us tonight, unless you and I are born again, I will not see the kingdom of heaven. We've got to be born a second time. And Nicodemus's eyes are being opened. You say, Jack, how do you know? Because I've read the Bible. You get to the end of John's gospel, you get into the book of Acts. Listen, Nicodemus is one of the two who comes to the cross of Christ and takes his body down and buries his body in a nearby tomb. Nicodemus. He's with Joseph of Arimathea. I have no doubt that Nicodemus in time became a believer. He was born again. It clicked. He got it. So the point is not birth in the sense of baby, birth? No. The picture's being painted with a picture that just as you started out in this world with a birth, you need to have a second birth to get started in the kingdom of heaven. And from that time on, should God allow it, that you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. So, here we go. Jot it down. Number one, it is this. God's technicolor truth is this. Number one, it reveals the plan of mankind's redemption. That is the goal to any proverb, or I should say parable, is that is to be given to lead man to redemption. The importance of a parable in Jesus' ministry, we see right here. Matthew 13:34. The Bible says, and all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude, look at this, in parables, and without a parable, he did not speak to them. He told them a story. Whenever he spoke publicly, he told a story to illuminate the fact of what he was teaching. Verse 35, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. He's talking about Isaiah. And I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. So we know that a parable delivers something that has always been, but it causes it to be revealed to the hearts and the minds of the listener. Ephesians 3:1. For this reason, says Paul, I, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation, the giving of God's word, he made known to me the mystery, this is going to be done through parables, the mystery, that is the doctrine of redemption, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, verse 5, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than all or least of all saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles, here it comes, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. What a mouthful of absolute truth. The gospel given to the world is a mystery hidden in Scripture. God has had it contained since the beginning of the world ever was, and the hour had been waiting for it to be revealed. And when God reveals it, God's truth goes out, and to make it very clear to the open heart, the parable is given. The same parable delivered can shut a heart down. But God's intent is to redeem. He wants all, the Bible says, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome if everybody did that? Do you have loved ones who are not saved? Doesn't that drive you crazy? I don't know about you guys, but maybe most of us men feel this way. You get burdened for a family member or for a neighbor or for somebody, and you want them to save so bad that there's this temptation that maybe men only get. And it's like, if I could just sit on their chest and hold them down, I'm going to shove my Bible in their mouth. Surely they'll understand and be saved. I mean, we would force them if we could, but we can't do that. It's not that way. His desire is that man, that you would be saved. He wants you to come to a knowledge of him. And he paints pictures. Did you guys see the sunrise this morning? Anybody commuting? Anybody up this morning? Anybody see it? Raise your hand if you saw it. 5 of us? Oh, okay. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty neat. Over here, all orange. Again, I told you before, how does God do that? Orange, blue, purple, pink. Insane colors. Unless you're God with an airbrush, right? And it looks awesome. Why is that important? How can you be a non-believer driving around and you see that and go, man, evolution rocks. Evolution's been so good to me. God shows that stuff in an instant. It's amazing. He's so good that way. The second thing is this. God's technicolor truth delivered in a parable presents. It makes a presentation. It presents God's word in living color. By living color, I mean in its absolute brilliance spiritually. That's why, you guys, you have had, you've known people, maybe it's been you yourself, where people have shared with you, they've witnessed to you, you've read tracts, they told you, they gave you a DVD to watch, all this kind of stuff, and you don't get it. And you don't care to get it. But at some point in time, God's word comes. It could be in a song. I've heard of people coming to know Jesus through a song. A friend of mine, not a Christian at the time, partying, was in an absolute maniac rock band. He's in some city somewhere and checks into a hotel. And he's drunk in his hotel, opens up the drawer, and grabs a Gideon Bible, probably from you, Clyde. Grabs a Gideon Bible, opens it up. The guy's drunk. You say, well, you can't understand the Bible when you're drunk. Of course you can't. Oh, man, have you heard people say, dude, that's why I smoke pot, man, so I can understand the Bible. No, you're crazy. No. But God was pursuing this guy, circumstances in life, issues in his life. He's drunk, opens up the Bible, and he said he opened up the Bible, and he started reading it, and instantly his mind was crystal clear. And it scared him. He was instantly sober. And he kept reading the Bible, got on his knees, accepted Christ. That guy's in the ministry today. He's a pastor. Is that amazing? You say, God can't do that. Yeah, he can. Yes, he can. What happened? God, by the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, lifts the truth of it up off the pages because it's alive and it's emboldened and embossed on a heart, we'll say in technicolor, in living color. Listen, the Bible should never be boring to you, ever. Now, you guys as a church are spoiled because every year we have a chance to go to Israel. And I always tell people before our first day of touring, hang on to your seats because your Bible will never look the same after today. Well, how come? Well, because we're going to go to Bethany. We're going to be going to the Elah Valley today. We're going to be going to the Samaritan well where Jesus met up with that woman there. And you'll see it and you'll never read those names again. Why? Because the Spirit of God uses clarity to drive home the Word of God in living color. Listen to this. Matthew 13:54. When he had come to his own country, he, Jesus, taught them in the synagogue. So they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom?"
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parables, The Technicolor of Truth. It's a lesson that takes a look at one of the teaching tools we find in Scripture. It's also an introductory lesson to Pastor Jack's topical series on these fascinating biblical teaching tools. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder that the entire series of television programs, Real Marriage, are yours on DVD for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Recently, we brought you a handful of interviews that we took from our Real Life with Jack Hibbs television program on the topic of marriage. I got to sit down with Pastor Jack and his lovely wife, Lisa, to engage in some pretty frank discussions on the subject of marriage and all that's involved. Actually, there are a total of 13 of these programs, including three that are Q&A sessions. They were kind of cool. And all those are all yours in a 3-DVD set for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Call, click, or write. Just ask for it by name, The Real Marriage Series on DVD. Whether you're married, not married, thinking about getting married, this series is a good one for everyone. Real Marriage on DVD. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, send your tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And, of course, all of our contact info can be found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.